Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance, here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Welcome. Sun coming out. That's awesome. We had some interesting weather earlier today. Here's what I have. Thank you, Nikki. From Jeff Hierman on Twitter. Now, Jeff Hierman has some sort of injury added to the list. He's quickly being overrun by a guy named Matt Lacoste. Never mind Austin Traylor, Fumagalli, and Jake Butt. But, you know, Hierman still wants to get something out there, Al. You know, he wants to get his voice out there. So on Twitter, he puts this out. Picture of him and Urban Meyer. Now, Jeff Hierman went to Ohio State, won a national championship. So there's a picture of him with his arm draped around Urban Meyer. The quick rush to judgment on Coach Meyer without the facts is pathetic and shows all that is wrong with the social media platform. You should know not to mess with the GOAT. Greatest of all time.
That would be Nick Saban.
So Jeff Hierman felt
that... Is he saying not to mess with Nick Saban?
Jeff Hierman felt the need, despite battling whatever... Maybe he's bored, to defend Urban Meyer. I guess Jeff Hierman knows all the facts, right? I guess Jeff Hierman is an expert in everything with this case. I guess Jeff Hierman goes back to the first time that Urban Meyer had this, Zach Smith guy as a coach, you know, which was like, what, in 2009 or something like that? I guess Jeff Hierman knows all. Jeff Hierman has investigated all of the texts and pictures, and Jeff Hierman knows all the wives, and, you know, Jeff Hierman knows exactly what the reporting procedures were. Jeff Hierman knows the inside outs of why Urban Meyer didn't tell the truth at Media Day a couple days ago, and he's admitted that today. Jeff Hierman's the expert on all that. You know, it's one thing to just say, hey, you know, I love Urban Meyer. He was great to me. I hope this, you know, goes away and blah, blah, blah. For Jeff Hierman to say the quick rush to judgment on Coach Meyer without the facts is pathetic and shows you all that's wrong with the social media platform. What are you doing? You're using the social media platform to say what?
Is he saying, D-Mac, that
I'll tell you what this tells me about Jeff Hierman. Can I tell you what this tells me about Jeff Hierman?
Is he saying that Coach Smith didn't do the things that...
Smith?
Yeah, didn't do the things that...
Who knows? What this proves to me about Jeff Hierman is you're not very bright. You're just not that smart of a fellow. You're probably not all that well-read. You probably have done no investigation on your own. And you're trying to, in a very pathetic way, stick up for your coach who you like. You can like whatever coach you want. That's fine. Jeff Hierman is... I'm done with Jeff Hierman.
Oh, wow.
I'm just done with Jeff Hierman.
Wow, really?
Yeah, well, he's not much of a player. He's not all that bright. And I'm ready to move on.
Come on.
You're not ready to move on from Jeff Hierman?
I'm just saying, you know, you're done with him. I'm like, ah, that sounds a little...
I'm done with Harsh. Isaiah McKenzie.
Okay. Hierman hasn't done enough one way or the other.
He's a terrible draft pick, unfortunately. He's a guy that
doesn't feel like this year's draft. I'm telling you that.
That's right. And he was a couple years ago. It was a bad pick.
Right now, that's what it feels like.
He's injury prone.
But what if he comes back and he's motivated?
Bright. Oh, I don't care. He's irrelevant for what they have. Jake Butt, Austin Traylor.
Fumagalli.
And I like this guy, Matt Lacoste. That's fine by me. We got plenty. We got plenty. And if you want to bring in a veteran tight end, then hey, I'm open for business on that too. I think the space they need to have some depth is at a cornerback, to be honest with you. But Heuerman, see ya. Do you really want your players, if you're the Denver Broncos, do you really want your players just chiming in on stuff on social media about this type of issue? About the Urban Meyer? You really want your players chiming in on it? Who asked Jeff Heuerman? Do you think Urban Meyer sent a text out, hey, fellas, help me out here a little bit? I'm sure he didn't. This is Jeff Heuerman just having this incredible brainstorm about, I got to get this off my chest. You know, you said something a long time ago about social media, and more or less you just said, just if you're a player, just delete it.
You don't need it. It's not going to change any. It's not going to help you one way or the other.
It's not going to help you. Von Miller said he worked out as much as he's ever had. He just didn't put it out there this year. He didn't feel the need to. Good. You know, it's different for us. With us, what we do, social media, communication, is literally what we do. If I'm playing in the NFL, I don't, why would I ever need Twitter? Unless I'm just bored.
That is, that's my take.
Why do I need it?
My thing is, you've just basically told everybody where you are. You know, it's like our own private rule between each other. I don't tell people when you go on vacation because I don't want them to know when to go and check your house out. So if you're a player, you know, I've seen this through so many different security videos about social media and using Facebook. You don't tell people that you're on this amazing vacation until you come back. You tell them about what happened last week. So hopefully you will have some time period in the space of time between the week that it's happening and the week that you come back to figure out, do you want to tell people about what you just did?
I think one of the things that we've learned in this training camp, and I'll definitely tip my hat to the Broncos personnel in this one, they've acquired some incredible depth where it didn't exist before. And they've got so many. And it all starts with Case Keenum, by the way. Because if you don't have a quarterback that can execute it, it really doesn't matter. But you do. You got a quarterback, despite throwing that pick six today to Will Parks that he was upset about.
But the Broncos won that.
But Case Keenum has had a great week. Not a good week, a great week. Cortland Sutton has had a otherworldly week. D'Angelo Henderson, Phillip Lindsay have been fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know if Cortland Sutton could have had, I mean, right now, he feels like he's going to be in Canton.
We are seeing the offense click every single day, whereas last year it was hard to even evaluate the offense because sometimes it was just so pathetic. I think when the Bears come in here, the Broncos are going to it's going to be embarrassing for the Bears. We'll see what the Bears have on defense this year, but the Broncos may light them up because the Broncos defense is pretty good, and Case Keenum and the offense have had their ways at times. So it'll be interesting when the Bears finally roll into town. It's been an eye opener.
It's been relatively
injury free training camp this week,
and it's been a grown up.
Not a lot of drama.
It's been a grown ups training camp too. I mean, the only thing that looked a little weird to me, just to be totally honest with you, was the conditioning at the end of practice.
That's happened a couple times though. That was not the first time.
I'm just telling you, it just looks weird because,
well,
you know what conditioning at the end of practice means. You didn't get enough work during practice.
That was at least the second time they've done it, and it might have been the third time out of six practices.
I'm just telling you that I don't like it. It still looks, you know, of all the coaches that we've had here, we haven't had that happen frequently, and it looks weird to me because, once again, to me.
Yeah, but couldn't that just be Lauren Landau flushing out their systems and you just get a little something like that in before you stretch?
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
They're not like. That might be a Lauren Landau conditioning. Stretching, acted lacid. I'm saying that wrong. I know. Lactic acid flush. It may be just that.
I don't know what it is. I'm just letting you know that I'm just.
I don't think it's a punishment.
I ain't saying it was a punishment.
Well,
I'm just saying
inferring that it sort of looks like that.
No, I'm just telling you that it looks like to me something that hasn't been done around here in Denver for a long time. Not maybe since maybe Josh McDaniels did it, you know, the last time it was done consistently. So anyway, we'll see
maybe
how it
Jeff
works.
Maybe Jeff Heirman should just go coach at Ohio State.
Hey, come on, man. What? Hey, come on. Come on now.
Leave Jeff Heirman alone?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, that's fine.
He's trying to manage this relationship with Ohio State, and I get it. But, you know, at this time, it's probably better that he just step aside and let the process take care of itself. Because clearly Urban Meyer lied. Now, yeah. You can say what you want about all the other stuff, but he came out and he corrected a lie today. So that is what we have to start with. And then from there, we can have a conversation about whether or not Urban Meyer, needs to be reinvestigated or not. Other than that, I'm telling you right now, it does not look promising for Urban Meyer right now. The talented, the very, very talented coach from Utah. And that's where I saw Urban Meyer get it in his best, when he had Alex Smith at Utah and they were rolling undefeated. And then he did it with Tim Tebow. The guy's a fantastic coach, but he lied about whether or not he knew anything about this domestic violence case when he was at the Big Ten meetings just last week. And he just admitted it today. If you haven't heard, Urban Meyer came out and admitted that. You know, how did he say, how did it start off? First, let me clear something up about what I said. You know, basically he said, hey, look, I lied.
All right, turning to football from last night. What did you think about the rules, the new, you know, head down, all that sort of stuff? How do you think that impacted the game, the penalties that were called, the flow of everything? There seemed to be a feeling out at Broncos practice today that we don't know what exactly is going to be called and when it's going to be called. And in terms of being a safety, it looks challenging, to say the least, in terms of being able to handle everything. What were your impressions watching that game, and how it was officiated last night?
Well, I think it was officiated the way that it's going to be officiated going forward. And you may not like it, but for all of us who care about the game, it has to happen. It has to happen this way because we want to see solid football, but we don't need to see the all-out violence every time a player takes the field, or we don't want to see the after effects of what happens to these guys after they're done. And I know some of you guys are smart, Alex, and you're saying we don't care. Well, I'm telling you that the NFL cares. They just paid out this huge sum of money, you know, $500 million on the concussion settlement, and they were only scheduled to pay out, in their estimate, $400 million in 10 years. They paid out $500 million in two. So it matters. It matters. And
did you say some of our listeners are wise guys?
Yeah, some of them.
I'm looking at the text line. Did Urban Meyer first thank Pasta J's?
First. Thanks to, you know, Pasta J.
You got some wise guys, I guess. Here is Shane Ray about the tackling rules.
I caught a glimpse of it. You know, my personal feelings on it is, you know, this is football, and you can't make a perfect tackle every time. Like, you can try your best. You can try to keep, you know, your head and shoulder in the right position, but a perfect tackle is not going to happen every time in football. Sometimes you come at those angles. Sometimes your head gets a little high, low, whatever. The ball carrier might drop his head. You know, there's things that happen. So, you know, I feel like because it's preseason, the refs were out there, you know, trying to make sure they show guys, hey, we're looking at this, you know, what, you know, refs are going to do, especially now when they put in the new rule. But thankfully we got great coaches that feel like we're going to probably get 1,000 reps tackles out here in training camp. So we work tackling every day, and it's our job to just try to keep our, you know, our head out of there, put our shoulder on guys, fit up properly, and that's all you can do.
It's going to be a learning process. Darian Stewart.
You know, I'm not really sure, but I saw the little play yesterday. It didn't look like it was that vicious, but, you know, they cracking down on it pretty tough.
We'll see.
It's going to be different, and there will be some growing spots that will hurt us, and it may cost us valuable first downs in games, and guys may get, you know, a letter from the league saying that you've been fined. But in the end, D-Mac, the only thing that really matters is the long-term safety of the game. And as we go through these changes, it's no different than hits on quarterbacks. And what was normal for when I was playing is no longer normal. And it's turned out to be good because our quarterbacks can play for a longer period of time. The same thing is going to be said about the targeting rule, because more guys will be able to play longer and the game will change. You know, the one thing that is hard to do is tell a guy not to explode through a guy in tackling drills.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything about us up until this point has been drop, explode through, imagine putting your helmet through the back of his shoulder pad.
You know what may be interesting? And the Broncos sent out a press release, so I watched the video that all the players saw, like the officials were in today to talk about stuff. So I actually saw the video. I mean, it's out there. I think anybody could see it. Nothing special about, you know, me seeing it. I think you could see it very easily yourself. Is the ejections. So you remember that play with Chicago when Danny Trevathan blew through that guy? And I forget the receiver's name, but he was kind of held up. His progress was stopped, and Trevathan just friggin' blew him up. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They use that not just as a penalty, which it definitely would be now. That's an ejection, automatic. Meaning if you're in a defensive position or your momentum has stopped and you go through a guy, you're going to be kicked out of the game.
But once again... Okay, we know that now. That wasn't the case last year.
No, and it's a good rule.
Hold on. This affects coaches when they're coaching the pursuit drill. Because last night there was a cleanup play that was called as well.
Yes.
So if a guy is being held up, you don't get to run at him and stick your helmet on the guy as he's trying to fight for extra yards or anything like that. Now what they're telling you, if you do go at a guy, aim a target at his hips. Target low enough where when he drops his leg, when he drops his head, you won't be in any danger. But you know what that also does? It takes away, and here's my prediction. Here's my bold prediction for the 2018-2019 season. Two things will happen. There will be more yards after the carry, and there will be less turnovers by the way of fumbles.
I saw a speculation that based on the new rules, coaches should just open things up. And they should just go four wides, five,
CFL.
Kind of, because now the defense is in a position right now, they got to give you some more space.
Yeah, you got to dislodge. You got to play basically, you know, where you are, you know, running at guys and trying to knock the ball away with your hand.
It's like flag football.
Initially.
And that even if your guy gets it and he gets blown up, the chances of drawing a flag now are huge.
Right.
If he doesn't
lead with his shoulder all the way and roll. Lead with his shoulder and roll.
So why not, like we're seeing Johnny Manziel on TV, he's about to start for the Alouettes. I mean, there's an argument to be made with these new rules. Open it up. Dare the defense to hit you and you know, see if they're going to back off or not. I mean, so if that's the case, does that make football better or worse?
I think it makes it more exciting if you are a fantasy football player. But if you're asking me how does it fare from football games that happened last year or the year before, it's different. So I'm not telling you I like it one way or the other, but I'll tell you this. At the end of the day, we'll have more guys with better post-football health than we do now. So I'll take it. So it's not going to look like that you like it right now, but when guys are done, maybe when we talk with them, they won't be so bitter and they can have a better quality of life. This is not done to take away quality of life. It is done to increase the quality of life for those that are part of this league. So I understand that it's not the way that you were taught to play football when you were younger, when you're out there listening. I get it, man. But I want you to understand that there is a consequence to that. And if you start your kids off playing this way, now you know that the rules are real. And, you know, if you have coaches that are not coaching that way, if you're dealing with youth sports, then you need to, as a dad or a mom, tell these coaches that's not the way it's supposed to be done.
On the text line, the RamosLaw.com text line, worse, way worse. Another text.
That's somebody who hasn't been hit hard with the crown of a helmet and never been knocked out. That's somebody who hasn't played the game and understand that there will be a long-term lasting impact. If I hear that, that's somebody who didn't have a real, who don't have a real understanding what high level college football or NFL football really is.
This league,
so I'm not backing down.
This league is so soft now, lame. Another one. Safe, huh? Safe is just not playing football anymore. Get rid of the NFL. Don't play. I'll watch the new league that develops and lets the players play and hit. There you go. Support for Gladiators,
it's always savage. And then, you know, the game is beautiful. You know, like the 7-on-7 league that started, and you're going to see great players that enter into that because I know, because some of them have told me that they're going to play. Some guys who have played professional football, the pros versus Joes, where the team in Louisiana actually won, they're going to be more pro football players after they're done playing in NFL, playing flag football. I'm telling you, there's a lot of beauty in pass blocking. There's a lot of beauty in pass rushing. There's a lot of beauty in the juke move and making guys miss. Is there a lot of beauty in, a safety running through a receiver on a crossing route? Is that beautiful? I'm serious. Is that beautiful? Or is that just, you know, what is that? In sports terms, how is that beautiful? I need you on this, 303-713-1043. How is that beautiful? The one-handed catch over the shoulder to stay in bounds is beautiful. To knock away a ball, to intercept it, knock it up in the air and catch it, that's beautiful. But since when is it okay for a linebacker to jump into coverage and launch himself at a receiver who's crouching?
All right, we have somebody who says they have a degree in neuroscience. Adam, you're claiming you're the smartest person to ever call the show. What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't exactly claim that, DMAC, but really just kind of wanted to jump in and talk about what hits do to the brain on the whole panoply of levels here. So we have full-blown concussions. Somebody has lost consciousness. You can think of that as like a divot in the brain. But we have sub-concussion hits that happen multiple times a game during the game of football in general. If you go to the book, Slow Getting Up, one of the tight ends that played here a few years back talked about how he would get sub-concussion hits on a really regular basis. Yeah. And so you're seeing stars. Al, I'm sure you remember the stars.
Of course.
And really, you are racking up damage to your brain regardless of what you are doing in the NFL. And
I appreciate it. We got to take a break. I'm sorry, Adam. We got to cut you a little bit short there. So sorry, my man. We just got to take a break. Appreciate the call. Call again.
I get it, man. Man, and we have so many guys that I know there are some of you guys that remember the way that you used to play and the way that you coach and the way that you love the game. But remember, man, we are a football community. We got to do what's best for not only the game, but for the young people that are coming behind us that are going to play this game.
DeMarcus Ware at practice. We'll get to it next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
All right, well, I wanted to get into this with you, and it's the DeMarcus Ware situation. Oh. So DeMarcus was out there today, and I asked Vance about it, and Vance said that he's not going to be doing any other teams. It's still here for a couple days, gone for a week, back for a couple days. But VJ did say that's it. There's no other teams that he's going to be with. It's just the Broncos. So I guess we got to keep our eyes out for that. But what'd you think about D. Ware being back today?
Well, once again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, D-Mac, and the idea is that when you are a coach in this league, you are a coach in this league, and you don't coach for multiple teams. But the way that this season has already gone, DeMarcus Ware being here today means that DeMarcus Ware is a rarity because he's coached for two separate teams in one football season. It never happens unless a guy gets fired. So what we're seeing here is a first when it comes to a guy who is a pseudo coach. We can't really call him a coach because I guess he's just a consultant.
He's a consultant, yes.
So,
but here's the problem.
It is seeing him out there today was I was like, what's going on? We just talked about this yesterday.
If you want to use him as a consultant, why wouldn't you want him as a coach? And if you think you want him as a coach, why don't you have somebody out there as a coach? So,
better question is, who's been coaching outside linebackers up until now?
Got me. But it's a confounding, it's a weird situation. And in what is a very good camp so far, it's one of those moments that I don't quite get. And I was talking to Stokely and Zach earlier, and I was just like, well, listen, you got two offensive line coaches. Why don't you get Chad Brown in there and DeMarcus Ware? I mean, why not? You know, what would the harm be in that? And at least if you had Chad there, you'd have somebody there every day. And when DeMarcus is available, you have him come in too. Or is that just too many cooks in the kitchen?
Well, I'll look at it this way and talk to you this way. We've been in training camp now for, what is this, the sixth day?
Yeah, yes.
This is the sixth day. And I would tell you Bradley Chubb is 5 days behind.
Whoa.
Have you seen Bradley Chubb make the splash plays that we've seen Cortland Sutton make?
Oh, gosh, no. But nobody has. Sutton's been the clear star of the camp.
When you drop the guy in the top five, you need some of that splash play stuff.
Here's the problem. I haven't seen Bradley Chubb make any significant
plays. I've seen him show up in the run game, but I'm just letting you know that. And I've seen him look like he was close on a few plays in the pass game. But what I'm telling you is that we've had 5 days of no DeMarcus Ware, no attention to detail, no steady improvement for our fifth pick in this year's NFL draft. And on the opposite side, you have a second rounder who's been getting it in every day on natural talent.
Well, let me ask you this. Here's what I saw.
And that's why, one more thing. That's why I've always warned people about saying that Bradley Chubb is a 10-sack guy. Because there aren't that many Von Millers out there. There aren't that many DeMarcus Wares out there where you can just actually take off running and run the hoop. We call it running the hoop, turning the corner. That is so unnatural. So, you're taking a guy who's a bigger defensive end, who doesn't have that natural lean and bend, and you're asking him to work with his hands from a position that he didn't play last year, and you're asking him to do it without expert knowledge. It's an issue. He's 5 days behind.
Well, here's maybe to go along with what you're saying. Here's what I saw DeMarcus Ware doing when I saw him working with Jeff Holland and Shane Ray. It was all hands stuff and body positioning. So I guess my question is, if he's going through these things with them, who else is going through these things with? I mean, if it's important enough for DeMarcus Ware to be working with these guys on this type of stuff, well, who else for the Broncos is doing that? I think that's what you're saying. If DeMarcus Ware comes in and says, well, this is the type of thing that I want to go over with you, it's reasonable to say, is anybody doing this? And if anybody is doing this, do they know what they're talking about compared to somebody like DeMarcus Ware?
Yeah, wonderful points. I don't know what you want me to say, but wonderful points.
Did you see
points.
The same thing? Did you saw the hand stuff, you know? You saw...
But it's not just the hand stuff. It's, you know, the thing about the hand stuff is that you have to do it in a given time. Like, everything that you work with stationary is not the way that it is in a game. It's like when we used to talk about Tim Tebow throwing to a stationary target, right?
Right.
When you're working hands moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't work standing still. You have to take a step. It's got to be a hand placement. It's got to be a hand placement. You got to take a step. You got to, you know, it's almost like a dance, you know.
Yeah.
It's an active kind of deal. So you cannot stand stationary and work hands, because it doesn't really matter. Because when the guy retreats, he's not going to be at that same area where you started working on your hands. He's going to be a yard or 3 yards deeper than when you actually touch him. So it's like 1, 2, get ready to use the hand here.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1, get ready to use the hand here. So it's but see, those are the expert things that you would expect from a dedicated coaching staff that's going to give all the attention in the world to a group that has 3 first-rounders.
Well, we did see DeMarcus out there after we were kind of ripping on him yesterday, so I suppose that's a good thing. I would still bring Chad in or whoever. I would just make sure that 3 first-rounders have a dedicated coach working with them. And by the way, to maybe a bigger point.
Yeah, would the Broncos work without a quarterback coach?
No, they don't work without a tight ends coach.
Yeah,
there's only four of them.
I mean, would you work without a... Well, let me ask you this. I'm not going to say that they don't have...
They've got 2 offensive line coaches.
Okay, all right, let me say it this way. Not that they wouldn't work with a quarterback... I mean, they wouldn't go to camp without a quarterback coach. Would they go to camp without a quarterback coach who didn't know what the hell he was talking about?
I wouldn't think so. No.
If that was the case, then guess what would happen? If they had a quarterback coach that they were trying to help and move along forward, okay, first of all, they would probably give somebody like Gary Kubiak that job of working with the quarterback, or they would give Billy Musgrave that job of working with the quarterback since he's already the offensive coordinator.
Well, they did promote like Clint Kubiak when they fired McCoy and elevated Musgrave.
But it was really Musgrave.
Hey, man, do you remember when Ben McDaniels was the quarterback's coach for the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. So, you know, these positions of quarterback, I'm not telling you that a person can't learn to coach the quarterback position, but to really understand, you really have had to have played in that position and know exactly where your eyes are going and how this feels, because a lot of these firsthand experiences is what it's going to feel like. And so when I tell you what it's going to feel like, well, it's good to have some knowledge about this experience because you've gone through it.
All right. So, and just to keep it real, Bradley Chubb is he's a second teamer right now.
That's where he belongs.
Right. So
that's what I've been saying.
Yeah, you're right. So it's Shane Ray out there. Bradley Chubb's with the second team on almost every drill, where it goes 2s-on-2s, and that's just where it sits right now. We'll see where it goes, but that's exactly where it sits right now. All right, when we come back, let's go over that game again from last night in terms of the future of the NFL, Alfred. Where is this going? We'll get there next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Okay, Al. The game last night.
Yes, baby. Let's get to it. Oh, I love the game last night. First of all. Yes, I did.
Well, you're the only one in America.
This is what I want for the Broncos.
What's that?
I hinted about it earlier, but this is what I want for the Broncos.
What's that?
Go and get RG3.
Oh.
Go and get RG3.
Okay.
He's a guy that is ready, and he looks the part. He's healthy. He can throw the football. He had a great night throwing the football. Now, he had an interception, but, you know, if you had a guy in the hands and he doesn't catch it and it's intercepted, that's not on the quarterback.
Right.
So I'm
right.
not counting that against him.
You know what I bet you could get for RG3?
What?
What? Just looking at Baltimore? Demaryius Thomas.
No.
You don't think they need some receiving help there in Baltimore? Really?
Yeah, I do, but I don't think they would make. I don't think they would want to pay DT the commensurate salary that goes along with acquisition.
All right, what does Baltimore need? What does Baltimore need?
Shane Ray.
Oh man, I don't want to give up Shane Ray.
Nobody wants. Hey, listen.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I want
Shane Ray's looking like a pretty important player for the Broncos right now.
Yeah, man. I told you he would be. But I'm telling you, man, you can get the most. You can get the most value.
Man.
You can get what if you can get RG3?
Dude, I don't know.
How about RG3 and a third rounder?
RG3 4. I don't want to give up Shane. I mean, dude,
he's 1 year. He's a 1 year guy.
Oh man.
Shaq Barrett looked pretty damn good too, though.
All right. I mean, I see where you're going. Let me just stop you in your tracks. I don't think RG3 is the vet backup that we're really looking for. But that being said, I wasn't even going there. I was talking about all the penalties and what a hit is and what a illegal hit isn't, and you know the nature of football itself. And
we talked about that. But I thought we were talking about what we saw and what we wanted from that game last night.
I mean, I'm talking about the nature of football itself. That being said, a lot of people crapping all over Lamar Jackson. A lot of people. I'm not one of them. A lot of people are like, told you so in terms of Lamar Jackson. Here's what I saw out of Lamar Jackson.
I told you so with Peyton Manning, too. He was a rookie, and he looked awful.
I saw Michael Vick potential out of Lamar Jackson last night.
I saw it out of RG3, too. RG3, man, I think.
Wow, that's your big takeaway, RG3,
man,
huh?
Hey, look, I got quarterback envy. I got quarterback envy because sometimes you just forget what a guy is. You know, because it feels like, you know, they talked about it a little bit last night during the broadcast when they started talking about, you know, everybody who talks to RG3 always mentions, how's your knee? And he was like, man, that was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was 5 years ago. But when you're out of football and the last thing you think about from a guy's past, it's like no doubt every time somebody thinks about Joe Theismann, who knows who Joe Theismann is, they think about his knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I think about RG3 when I think about him. He got hurt. You know, he was a running quarterback and he got hurt. That was 5 years ago. Come on, man. This guy looks great. And I think Ozzie Newsome, man, he's just run circles around the NFL. By the way, did you see Orlando Brown last night?
Yeah.
He looked amazing.
Okay.
Right tackle.
What'd you think of Lamar Jackson?
I thought Lamar Jackson was a rookie. But, you know, here's what I'll tell you about a rookie like Lamar Jackson. You ain't hitting a 50-yard run. You ain't hitting a 50-yard run in this league. You take off running, you get you 4 or 5, get down.
What'd you think about the game itself?
I thought that it was a learning curve that's going to have to be accelerated by football players in general. There were 4 or 5 calls that didn't get called where I thought guys actually led with their helmet and they didn't call it. And the times that they did call it, I was like, yep, saw that one. Yep, saw that one. And like anything else, when it comes to football and change, it's like turning a Titanic, right? I mean, it's like you're going to have to turn that sucker slow. You know, it's going to be, you know, I figure this year is going to be an iceberg. We're going to run right into it, and there are going to be a lot of controversial comments made about the use of the helmet in tackling. And even though it is new, doesn't mean that it's not right for the NFL. I believe that what we're trying to get across to the players, whether they're young or old, is we need to protect each other. You cannot just, you know, I saw a guy got a flag last night on the way down to the ground cleaning up the pile. Cleaning up the pile is now wrapping up the legs.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You know what I'm saying? Cleaning up the pile is not taking a guy out at the helmet. It's wrapping them up at the legs. That's a mentality change And I think it's going to be slow to go.
All right. Well, listen, it doesn't slow down for us. We are back out at training camp tomorrow, and we'll be out there every day. They're out there. We're out there as well. So overall, this first week or so is what, Al? How would you grade this week in terms of Broncos training camp?
I would say that this past week has been, I would say, a grown-up experience, because last year there were many times where it felt like it was amateur hours. This is a grown-up affair.
So an A? Would you give it a, if you had to give it a grade?
I would say that I would give it a B. I would give it a B because there are some things that didn't carry over that we thought that would carry over, like the backup quarterback play.
Okay.
You know, all the things that we thought that we would get out of Paxton Lynch going forward, we didn't get them.
Okay.
You know, we didn't follow it up with a 2 days in a row. It was back to Paxton running in 7-on-7 drills. You know, it was, you know, it's just things that you wished that were changed, that almost everything has changed where we said the changes needed to happen, except now we only have one glaring weakness, and I think that is the backup quarterback.
I'm a little nervous about the secondary as well. And in terms of highlights, Courtland Sutton had, I don't know how a rookie could have had a better first week of training camp than Courtland Sutton. I mean, it was every day, and today may have been the most spectacular. That dude, he's a dude, dude.
Dude.
All right, Alfred, that's it. We've done what we could until we do it tomorrow.
Well, you mean Monday.
Well, you know, some of us will be on tomorrow.
My man, that's why I love you,
some
bro.
Some of us won't. We'll just keep it there.
Oh, that's so cool, man. For my main man, D-Mac, who brings it home every day, bringing home the bacon, and you can fry it up in the pan bro.
Right.
Okay, for Big Sexy, who gets it together for us every single day, and we appreciate you, bro.
I'll eat the bacon. I'll eat that bacon.
You know we love you. And for my main man, Kyle Berry, for always making sure we're on our toes and making sure the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, I'm Big Al saying have a great weekend, and go Broncos. We'll see you back here as a tandem Monday at 3 on The Drive.